For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
If you've ever wanted real energy without choking down something that tastes like regret, Bucked Up is the answer. The flavor is the thing people keep coming back for. Insanely delicious, which is not a phrase usually associated with energy drinks, and they're built on real, science-backed ingredients. Clean energy that actually works without the garbage you don't want. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
This is not a drill. Oh, this is real.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the real thing, folks.
I would rather see Rodgers out there than roll out Will Howard and see, can he be the next Bo Nix?
The Rich Eisen Show.
The Steelers are not winning the Super Bowl this year.
Oh.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, PGA Tour CEO Brian Rolapp, host and comedian Jay Farrow. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We got a lot in store for you here on this What's More Likely Friday and the top five lists and your phone calls. And we've got ourselves some terrific guests that are joining this program. My buddy Tommy P with the latest in the National Football League. Tom Pelissero will join us. My old boss from the National Football League. Now the commissioner of the PGA Tour, Brian Rolapp, is going to be sitting in this chair. And then, well, this is the thing we love. The chair will be occupied in hour two by Brian Rolapp and then hour three by Jay Farrow. That's how we roll here on this day. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. What's going
on? Hey, Rich, happy Friday. What's
Jason
up, man?
Jason Feller, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, Rich? Doing great.
TJ, the candle's lit. What's going on, sir? What's going on?
I think of Tommy P as all of our friends.
I agree. Thank you. I appreciate
that. That's a good point. Yeah. We send him videos. You don't.
Yeah, you don't like the videos.
I just have him create them on the program. You know,
I think ours are cooler.
All good. I will accept it. Thank you very much.
But it's Friday. How's everybody?
Great. Let's go, man.
Great. We're doing great. Good. Yeah.
We had the WNBA convo pre-show. I don't think any of you guys knew I was planning on wearing this sweatshirt.
I love it. Nice. Well, women's sports now. It's Stephanie White on yesterday talking about the Indiana Fever opening the season tomorrow against Dallas. There'll be tons of WNBA stars in the first of two games on ESPN. So that's how Thursday went down on Women's Sports Now. Check it all out on the Disney digital platforms. The NBA. Would it be wild if I started the show by just falling off my chair?
I mean, I think a lot of
without
people
being contacted.
I think a lot of people would get it.
Here's the thing. The Oklahoma City Thunder is right at the center of this flopping conversation. And I go back and forth between whether they deserve it or they don't.
Oh, they do.
I know they do, but yeah. It's not the reason why they're winning, though. You know what I mean?
No, but it doesn't make it enjoyable to watch the winning.
They've got two monsters in the middle in Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein. They've got a terrific slasher to the basket and shooter, and obviously Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They've got a ton of young players that play perimeter defense. They've got Alex Caruso. They've got a transition game that's lightning fast. Lightning fast. You make one mistake, and it's 2 points, if not three, on the other end.
Facts.
And, you know, and they've got a terrific coaching staff. You know, Mark Daniel, he's got this look on his face where he either it's constantly he's calm, mm-hmm. but he looks at you like either he smelt it and you dealt it, or he's looking at like, you know, what don't you understand? Or
what is your major malfunction?
You know, like, yeah, or did you not get my order? You know, I go back and forth about what his look constantly is saying.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Did you get that memo?
Yeah, did you get the memo?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
did
good
you
one.
See yeah. The memo?
That's what he
this?
Looks like. Did yeah. you see the memo? You know what I mean? And then they just beat the crap out of you. And then when you don't get the calls or they're getting calls that they don't deserve, it just drives you crazy. Again, the craziness that did unfold last night, this shot right here, Chet Holmgren took an elbow to the chest and he acted like the second spitter hit him, you know, like Kramer.
Well,
you know?
In fairness, he's like a buck 80.
I
you know what I mean?
Chris, pretty boy.
I understand what you're saying, but that, like he, come on, man. Like, and he got busted. He got busted. The Lakers challenged this and the Lakers got the challenge correct. He got busted. Flat out busted for flopping. And I don't understand why the NBA doesn't penalize this with a fine. Like, that should cost. And I don't understand why the refs are just sitting there and they don't, like, look at him, go up to him afterwards. And I know that's not their job. But it's just so ridiculous.
Like Vito Corleone, be a man!
And at one point,
yeah. Act like a man!
Act like a man! You know, I'm a godfather. He hit me in the chest with an elbow. I don't know what to do.
And he shakes him.
You can ask like a man.
Yeah.
One point SGA threw himself at the basket with no contact, and he flopped so hard he knocked out two Lakers, including rolled over the ankle of Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
And then when this all happening, the Lakers take a 1-point lead into halftime and blow it because they couldn't stop Jared McCain, your former Sixer.
McCain?
You know what I mean? Like, you got to give it up. McCain was a bit player in their sweep of the Suns. And with SGA picking up his fourth foul, okay, so the refs did give, I mean, SGA was in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He picked up two. The call.
How many?
I said he picked up two fouls in the first quarter, including the aforementioned flop that rolled into Marcus Smart. He got called for a foul on that. So at the end of the day, they had only five free throws more than the Lakers last night. And you want to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, then in the non-SGA minutes, win them. And instead, they got blown out in them because Jared McCain shot 7 of 11 from the floor. He was unstoppable. Kayson Wallace makes plays. Ajay Mitchell is making plays. So the Lakers get 31 from Austin Reeves, 10 of 16. Remember I said you can't go 3 for 16? It'd be better if you're 8 for 16. He went 10 for 16.
Even better.
Austin 3-16.
LeBron got his 23 points.
The glass breaks.
So, again, I go back and forth on this subject matter because the Thunder's right in the middle of this flopping conversation that keeps getting louder and louder and louder. Certainly when the head coach of the Lakers takes the podium and says what we're about to hear from J.J. Redick, because LeBron had an and one that got waved off because they said he was fouled before the shot.
Right.
And like, if anybody knows what continuation is and what, when a foul's after a gather, it's the guy who's got the most points in the history of the NBA. You know what I mean? And, but the Lakers were down by 13 at that point. And you guess I could, you need every point you can possibly get because you don't know about making a run, but this is JJ Redick after the game.
LeBron has the worst whistle of any star player I've ever seen. I mean, I've been with him 2 years now. You know, there's, again, the smaller guys, because they can be theatric, they typically draw more fouls. And the bigger players that are, you know, built like LeBron, it's hard for them. But he gets clobbered, and he got clobbered again tonight a bunch. And that's not like a new thing. That's not specific to this crew or, you know, this this series, he gets fouled a lot. That doesn't happen. I mean, guy gets hit on the head more than any player I've seen on drives, and it rarely gets called. So
I get what he's saying, but the guy's attempted the second most free throws in the history of the league. That's an insane statement.
I don't blame him for saying it. I mean, but again, you know, when you come up with 20 bench points and they come up with 46. Jared Vanderbilt's out. Luka's in street clothes.
Yeah, they're just deeper.
You can understand the frustration. I mean, you can absolutely, when you're watching it, as you said, it's tough to watch. And that's it's tough for you to sit there and watch it. How tough is it for you to sit there and take it and get blown out?
And that's going to be my question to you guys. Like, they're big favorites to win the title. SGA is probably going to win MVP. That's back to back. Do you enjoy watching him and them play basketball?
It's not pretty, but I'll tell you, Chet Holmgren draining in threes, Hartenstein, the transition game, Caruso. They don't miss shots, Chris. They shot 56%.
I know that they're good.
Yeah, I know that.
They are, you know, a budding all-time great run that they're conceivably in right now.
Yeah, because they're going to get a lottery pick most likely on Sunday.
And they have all the tools and the picks and the players
to
go after. You know, they could make a trade for Giannis. Let's be honest. They could trade into the top five. We don't know.
Why would they do that? Why would they do it?
To keep it going.
I mean, keep it going. You just keep it going. Keep running it
back. But do you enjoy watching them play?
I mean, I've been sitting here thinking about that since you asked it. One thing I do enjoy, right? I enjoy the way that this team has been constructed. They did it the right way.
You got to say that.
You can't take anything away.
I mean,
this has been like a 6-7 year process.
Yeah.
We saw this day coming, mm-hmm. if you really paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate the fact that they had a process that they stuck to that actually worked, and it's going to continue to work for the foreseeable future.
They could win 4 or 5 in a row.
Yeah, so do I enjoy watching them? I enjoy watching good basketball. There is the flopping is a little like irritating, but overall, I think I do enjoy watching them.
And they were without Jalen Williams last night.
Yeah.
J-A-L-E-N. You got to spell it out.
Because they got two.
Yeah, they do. It's
tough. It's tough. It's more often tough than it is not.
Here was LeBron afterwards when he was made aware of what his coach said.
When we spoke to JJ post-game, he was pretty irate about the officiating. We saw you have some discourse with the refs as the game went on. How do you feel like officiating was a factor in those runs that they were able to put together, the Thunder were able to put together?
We're down 2-0.
JJ said that of all superstars that you have the worst whistle that he's ever seen. Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
What are your conversations like? You're one of the stars of this league. You talk to referees, with a conversation back with you, and it changed anything at all of that? Are you satisfied with their answers?
No.
Yeah, he's not going to feed it. He's not going to feed it. Deep down, I think he knows they're outmanned, they're outgunned, and they're going to go home, and they're going to hope. I mean, they're going to hope that the way they are now working the refs will lead to something helpful, and that they don't turn it over. They make shots. They all have to play at the top of their game. I mean, it makes me feel like in all those years when Michigan was getting our asses handed to us by the Urban Ohio State team, like, you have to play a perfect game to even have a shot.
Yep.
Like a holding penalty here, a personal foul penalty there, a missed opportunity here, a drop pass there. Like, you can't afford one of them. You can't afford any of them.
Because they'll capitalize.
Because they will. That's how good they are. That's how good they are. And in terms of working the refs throughout the game, they worked them afterwards too. I've never seen this before. Austin Reeves gathered the refs. LeBron was just listening. Standing there listening, nodding his head. I've never seen this. I know I might be betraying a little bit of ignorance here. I don't know who the gentleman on the right is whose face is blocked by clearly one of the refs with a credential around his neck. Yeah. Is he a league official of officiating or something? Because he's in there listening to what Reeves is saying. And Reeves is directing his comments right at a referee. And there's another one listening in. I've never seen this. Hey, everybody, gather around. I've got a piece of my mind before we go to the locker room here for me to say. I don't know what they said. Reeves went at it with an official as well, saying that the official barked at him about where he could position himself on a jump ball. It's very frustrating. Again, if you think it's frustrating to watch, how do you think it is to lose?
Yeah.
In that building where people are going nuts, and rightfully so, because they have a team that's won their first six playoff games, six-game win streak since it's been win-or-go-home time. So now they got to go back to the downtown Hoops dojo, and Luka's not walking through that door with a uniform on. So I go back and forth. They are an interesting conundrum because they are excellent and they are flopping. I mean, Chet Holmgren got busted. How is that not a technical at the very least? Busted. And the official who immediately calls offensive foul should be embarrassed.
Right.
Again, it's a quick game. It's fast. You see somebody who is, you know, as tall as he is, make a move. Like, again, that looks like Kramer getting hit by Roger McDowell's loogie. You know what I mean? But offensive foul. And you could see they immediately challenged it. And he'll just go back to the bench just embarrassed? Or does he not care? He's up 2-0. He's generationally enriched. What does he care? He also shoots. I mean, he was spectacular last night otherwise.
You mentioned generationally. It might be this generation that doesn't care how they look.
Right? He led the team plus 19, 7 of 11 from the floor, 3 of 5 from 3, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, 4 steals.
Again, my problem is less with the players and more in the officials.
Like, okay, but let me ask you this.
We talked about this with C-Web yesterday, and his answer was immediately saying the refs. And then in the middle of his answer, he's like, well, you know, if my pops was there and I started flopping around because somebody 100 pounds bigger than me pushed me, I'd be embarrassed. And then the players need to take a little bit of accountability
for all
of that. But the officials need to do a better job. Like, we're all just spinning our wheels trying to figure this thing out right now.
You can flop as much as you want, but if you're not getting a call, eventually you're going to stop doing it.
If there were no refs and the players just called their fouls, the Thunder would still be up 2-0, though, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, again,
the Lakers are just out.
Jared McCain went 7 for 11. Again, let me just get these numbers here.
7 for 11, 4 or 5 from 3.
I'm trying to do the math here on the fly. He played in the playoffs opening sweep of the Suns. And, you know, and those games were blowouts, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
the last one was, I mean, by the final score, somewhat competitive. He played a grand total of about 21 minutes. And last night he played almost 18. You know, he went 7 for 11. If you're not going to be able to stop the, you know, number 10 or 11 on the bench, on the roster,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to torch you when you have SGA and foul trouble out.
But 10 on the roster, but he's a number 16 pick. He's talented enough to be higher on someone's depth chart.
Right. But OKC is just so deep. That's where he is on the,
So that's that. The Pistons are up 2-0. We'll talk about Cade Cunningham being the MVP potentially of the league as well.
Playing like it.
You know, playoff James Harden has shown up again. That's a massive mystery as well. We'll kind of hit on that. It's a what's more likely Friday. Brian Rolapp, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, is here. So we're excited about him being here. And I go way back like a car seat with him. And then Jay Farrow in hour number 3, you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Running a small business means every hire matters. A bad hire costs time and money, but the right one helps your business grow. The challenge is finding that person without sorting through resumes. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. Let's take a break. Tom Pelissero, when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Rich Eisen here. You ever notice what happens when something big rolls into your city? A major tournament, a can't-miss concert, a high-stakes playoff game. Suddenly, fans are everywhere. Feels like everyone's trying to get in. Streets are packed. Hotels book up fast. And finding a place to stay? Not so easy. That's exactly why this can be a smart moment to think about your own space. If you're planning to be away, you can list your space on Airbnb while all of that's going on and earn some extra cash at the same time. You're not changing your routine. You're just making the most of the moment. From my years on the road, I can tell you what people are looking for during these big events. A comfortable home base. Something that feels like their own space in the middle of all the action. And when options are limited, places like yours could really stand out. So if you've ever thought about listing your space, this is a great time to give it a shot. When your city is at its busiest, your home could be exactly what someone is looking for. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Pelissero just dropped on our TV-only portion that he believes there's going to be a deal between the NFL and its officials, so there will be labor peace there, which is awesome. So let's just assume this deal gets ratified. Any changes that we should know about in the way that officials are rated, put out on the field? Replay chiming in on some of their calls. Is there anything in this CBA based on that that you can drop for us here?
A big focus for the NFL was on expanding the investment and in terms improving the quality of officiating. One of the big sticking points, and this goes back for years, was this dark period. Basically, after the Super Bowl, for multiple months into the spring, they couldn't have any contact with their officials. You couldn't do training sessions. You couldn't do film sessions. You really couldn't do anything. And that was all protecting, the working hours, as unions do, for the officials. I would anticipate, based on what I know, that that is going to change, that there's going to be expanded access to officials as part of a new deal. The NFL has also pushed for, and I believe will get, the ability to establish a bench of officials so that if you have, let's say, underperforming officials, you would have other people who are ready to be called up, just like it is, you know, with players and a practice squad and the inactives who can go to the active list. You potentially can have officials who can rise or fall within that. And then the other part of it was, you know, expanding their training programs into the off season. I know the union made a comment at one point about, you know, interesting that they were going to put the replacement officials out there in training camp when they no longer have us at training camps. That also should change here, Rich. They should be able to have officials out there, you know, from joint practices to training camp to mini camp, just more time on task, more reps, the same stuff that they were going to do if they had to initiate the replacement officials. At this point, it appears that is going to be unnecessary pending the final audit of the vote. But some significant changes, basically just expanding the amount of training they can give officials who are also financially, I fully anticipate, are going to get the best deal that NFL officials have ever gotten.
Okay, that's good news. It really is, because nobody wanted that. And certainly the league didn't want to put, replacement officials out on the field in Australia for the first game of the year internationally, Rams and the Niners, and seeing all of that. And also officials, deserve what they can get. And also, I think they didn't want to see, maybe put into place, let's just see how efficient the Art McNally Center ruling in, chiming in on actual calls on a field would be, because that could be pretty darn efficient at the end of the day, Tom. You know?
And to go back to the March meeting, that was approved on a one-year basis, contingent on replacement officials, that they would be able from the league office to change any call on the field that was clearly and obviously wrong, which would just far expand where replay has always cut off. There has always been broad deference from the competition committee to allowing the people who are on the field to not have their judgment swapped out for the judgment of someone who is not on the field. This would have been a seismic shift. Like many things that the NFL did and said over the past several months, I'm sure that there is a leverage aspect to it of, hey, if we don't get this deal done, and this the current deal is set to expire on May 31st, if we don't get this done, you may come back to a completely different work environment where we are, you know, overhauling everything around you. There is still going to be some limited expansion of replay, specifically for ejectable offenses. Now, the league office can eject players even if a flag is not thrown on the field. They also can, for the first time, put down a flag for an ejectable offense. So both a flag and an ejection for something that is completely missed on the field. You think of situations like DK Metcalf on the sideline. Could that have been an example of it? Certain hits that don't get flagged, and then you see 10 different replay angles that just are missed because the game's so fast. The league now would be able to insert themselves on those matters, but it will not be the broad expansion, the fix everything sky judge, which I would personally say, and I know there are some people who've been campaigning for this forever. There is no earthly way, and I know we just released the UFO files today, so maybe they'll find something, but there's no earthly way to make that efficient in the near term. You don't have enough of the highly qualified, you know, sky judge type people to be doing that. You would have a real questions about where the line is drawn, where what is clear and obvious. Is it the 100% call? Is it the 95% call? It's such a slippery slope. I personally hope the NFL doesn't go there. Technology continues to improve. The league will continue to do things incrementally. But having the full-time, not full-time, but the real officials, whatever you want to call them, on the field, not replacement officials, it'll allow them to continue to move incrementally toward technology as opposed to a broad experiment that would be virtually impossible to roll back.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know, a nice rarity, which is a Mother's Day week bona fide free agent signing. Jawan Jennings, a one-year, reportedly $13 million deal to join the Minnesota Vikings right there in that town. And that means Addison and Justin Jefferson and Jawan Jennings. That is a nice trio of receivers for which starting quarterback, Tom?
Well, let's start with how Jawan Jennings fits into this.
No, I don't wish to start with that. I want the tea spilled,
Tom.
When
they had him on a visit, it immediately raises questions about, okay, are they planning to move on from Jordan Addison? Like, why would he come to Minnesota? It's a one-year, $8 million deal. He can earn up to $13 million with all incentives. Right. He was the free agent left on the market, other than Aaron Rodgers, who was going to make the most money somewhere. So the Vikings end up getting him at what can only be called a cut rate at this stage in the offseason. The vision, as I understand it, is Jawan Jennings effectively will fill the Jalen Naylor role. He had a lot of productivity, cashed in on a big deal with the Raiders in free agency. It does not bear on Jordan Addison or Justin Jefferson. They envision the three of those guys all being out there, along with TJ Hawkinson, and having a really diverse passing game for whichever quarterback ends up starting.
Yeah.
My understanding has been, and I will continue to say this, Rich, we got OTAs getting going in a couple of weeks. That'll tell us more about what the actual landscape of this is going to be, but they envision it being a true competition, Kyler Murray versus J.J. McCarthy. And both these guys are going to go into this believing they're going to win this job. You know, I don't know, frankly, how friendly that quarterback room is going to be. It is going to be a very competitive quarterback room. They are two players that have some things in common in terms of their skill set. You know, nobody moves like Kyler, but J.J.'s got good mobility, as you know well, Rich, from watching him at at Michigan. You've got Siri thought I was saying something. I was not. Kyler Murray? That's what you wanted?
No, that's about to say. Is Siri trying to giving you information?
Well, I thought maybe I had a message. Yeah, that would be the ultimate AI if it starts sorting out quarterback competitions. But Kyler comes in. Listen, he hasn't played in this offense. JJ's got 2 years in it. It's been a roller coaster ride. There's been some really good moments. There's been some not so good moments, and there have been a ton of injuries. Kyler also has dealt with injuries in recent years, you know, since the torn ACL, and then obviously last year with the foot injury they never made it back from. It's going to be interesting to watch these guys duke it out, because you've got JJ, who's got at least a foundation in the offense. You've got Kyler, who has shown ability. He's been to Pro Bowls. He's been to the playoffs. He's still only 28 years old. This, to me, is going to be the most fascinating quarterback competition in the NFL. And from everything that I have understood, it is truly wide open. They're keeping an open mind as a coaching staff, and we'll see what direction it goes.
That was maybe that was Nick Sirianni chiming in.
Oh, hey.
What do you think? What do you think? All right. So Rodgers, we're talking money now, right? Is that what it is? Money, is it now money? No. I mean, it can't be scheme, can't be anything else other than, you know, 15's the base based on the procedural maneuver the Steelers made right after the draft, right? Is that what it is? Is he there today? Is he now? Is he there now, right now?
All right, first of all. Aaron Rodgers is believed to be in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
There is no meeting scheduled. There is not a visit to the facility scheduled.
No.
It does not sound, from what I was told this morning, that there's even been communication right now in terms of like, hey, you're going to pop over or something. Like, none of that's happened. There has been communication.
What's he there for? Is he getting your Permane brothers made of bark? Is that what it is? Bark instead of fries on it?
Aaron Rodgers, we're talking about. I'm just trying to frame this for you as accurately as I can, Rich, because like everything with Aaron Rodgers, there could be many, many stops and starts. To the point on money, I do not believe, based on what I know, that the contract is going to hold this up. There has been communication between the Steelers and Rodgers' agent, Dave Dunn. That communication has been positive.
Okay.
They have talked numbers. They don't have an agreement.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers has made about $400 million in his career. If he's making 15 or 20, I don't think that that's going to have a great impact on his life. Yeah. If Aaron Rodgers is coming back, it's not to make a few extra bucks. It's to go and try to win a championship with a locker room that enjoyed him last year, with a head coach in Mike McCarthy, who's new to Pittsburgh, but knows Aaron Rodgers as well as anybody, an offense he's hyper familiar with. Aaron has to ultimately decide what he wants to do. I believe that this all ends with Aaron Rodgers being the Steelers quarterback. I believe most likely it ends with Aaron Rodgers out there when OTAs get going on May 18th. Does that take place this weekend? Does it take place next week? It is Aaron Rodgers. He is going to decide on his own terms, but not about money, not about, you know, beating each other up over the contract. This is just about Aaron making a full and final decision, a commitment. I'm coming. I'm going to be the Steelers quarterback. He could walk in the door in 3 minutes for all we know, Rich. But right now, no meeting is set, and we continue to wait.
Okay. What else is there then? What's in your reporter's notebook or people blowing you up about this team? We're not talking about that team enough. Anything like that? As we're waiting for the schedule, could it be schedule related? You got anything for me there? Tom?
I think we're really into now that, you know, the draft is settled. All the free agent movement, in essence, is settled. And there are some big names that are still sitting out there, you know, in free agency.
Diggs, right? Diggs sitting out there.
Diggs, you know, Tyreek, we don't know if he's going to be ready to play in 2026, but he's still a free agent. Debo is still a free agent. Keenan Allen is still a free agent. There's a bunch of running backs, you know, Najee and Eckler both coming off of significant types of injuries. There's a bunch of pass rushers, Von Miller, Cam Jordan. So all those guys, you're at that stage where you're not making the money that you used to, and you're going to have to make a decision. Do you want to play? If so, what matters to you? Do you want to take the most money? Do you want to go to the right spot? Do you want to go back to the team you've always been with? Do you want to try something new? Those can be any time in the next 4 months here, Rich, and we'll see exactly what those directions go. But at this point, now you start to get into, all right, we now know who's on what team. There's no more speculating about the draft, no more speculating other than Rodgers about what quarterback is going where. It's competition time. Yeah, I don't think that there's one at all in Los Angeles. The full anticipation is Ty Simpson waits behind Matthew Stafford, but we'll certainly await Stafford's contract getting done, as well as what he has to say on the subject of the Ty Simpson draft pick whenever that ends up taking place. You've got Las Vegas, obviously, with Fernando Mendoza there. We know what Clint Kubiak has said, that he would like to have a veteran starting quarterback, but there's going to be competition on some level. If Kirk Cousins goes and stinks it up in the preseason, I don't think they're just going to default to Kirk has to be the quarterback, but they are believers in you want to give Fernando time, especially when he's making this significant transition. Out there, you know, in Arizona, barring some wild scenario where Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden ends up in the Cardinals uniform, which I don't anticipate, you know, you're going to have Jacoby Brissett, who from my understanding is still the clear QB1, but he's got Gardner Minshew there. He's got a guy in Carson Beck there that was the first pick in the third round and has won a ton of football games at the college level. That, to me, is going to be a really interesting competition. Obviously, if Aaron doesn't come back, which all indications are that he will, but if he doesn't come back, then in Pittsburgh, it'll be Will Howard and Drew Aller and Mason Rudolph going at it. This is the fun time of year, Rich, because now, again, all the speculation that we've had, let's actually see the guys on the field. Let's actually see how these things begin to play out. And then there's, you know, veteran competitions as well in places like Minnesota and Cleveland, where I know that, you know, everyone has been saying that Deshaun Watson's atop the totem pole. It's May. Let's see where we are come August. You know, this is, again, this is the part of the calendar where you start to, all right, get past the theoretical phase and see what happens in reality.
All right, Tom. You go back, you go do your thing, man. You know, like you tapped out of Tom Pelissero, the civilian, to throw your hoodie on and get your hair ready and join us. And I appreciate that.
I'm wearing a tuxedo next week just for you, Rich. Yeah. We're dressing.
If you do it, I'll do it.
What do you call it? Canadian tuxedo? What is it?
Canadian tuxedo is all
denim. I can do the Canadian tuxedo too. All denim? All right. We can make that happen.
You going to any of the T-Wolf games or no? No?
Not as of now. We'll see. My kids continue to bug me about it. But those 8:30 Central starts that are actually 8:57 Central starts, a little rough on the kids.
Okay, I got it. Have a great Mother's Day with your lovely wife, sir. Enjoy it.
Same to you, Rich. Thank you.
That's Tom Pelissero.
Sorry, brother.
That's Tom Pelissero, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. 844-204. By the way, I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it.
Uh-oh. Do it.
I knew there was going to be a deal done with the officials. They weren't going to do this. They weren't going to go back to that fail Mary craziness.
That was bad.
Game one on probably what, YouTube worldwide again, just like the one I called last year in Brazil. A whole world tuning in at once to see some replacement ref blow it between. And it's not a big game between the Rams and the Niners either. It's never going to happen.
Me and Canta Brazil.
And because again, the officials wouldn't want to probably, I imagine, go to the brink and say, yeah, we're willing to let the NFL institute something that makes us more obsolete, potentially.
Even though Major League Baseball has done that.
Well, again, there's a difference between tapping your helmet and immediately calling a ball and a strike that the whole stadium and all the broadcasts can take a look and it's done. The matter's done within seconds, right? The difference between that and, well, we've never had somebody from New York say, that's a hold. Never had that before. It's not an illegal man downfield, you know, where it's a flag here, putting a flag down there. We've never had, you know, that pass interference again. You know what I mean? It didn't make any sense. And I'm glad that it seems cooler heads and smarter heads have prevailed on that front. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Our next guest is the PGA commissioner himself. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Rolapp will be here on the program. I wonder if we'll talk about the LIV Tour with him. Wait a minute. I'm in charge of that. We will. I don't know why I'm doing that. Talking to myself, also during this commercial break. Back with your calls in a sec. Save $2 when you buy two cans of Superior Products Coverall Tire Dressing. Plus, receive 4x O rewards points now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Coverall delivers long-lasting shine. Visit your O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com. Rich Eisen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app and share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As soon as Tommy P left, it's official. CBA has been agreed to 7 years between the NFL and the and its officials through the 2032 season. So let's put that aside and never talk about it again.
Fantastic.
Terzo and I will all rise, everybody. What's up, Terzo? How are you, sir?
What line
What's
is
going
that?
On? That's line one.
Line one.
Line one.
What's up, fellas?
How are you?
What's up, fellas?
Terzo,
I'm doing
what up,
pretty
man?
Well. What's Working from home on? Today. Got a couple racks of ribs on the smoker, so I'm enjoying the day.
Not a boy.
Well done, sir.
Hey, so Rich, watching that Cavs game last night, in the last like 5 minutes there, it looked like James Harden was just so scared to touch the ball. And he just looks like a shell of himself, and it's kind of disappointing to see, just for the simple fact of how, you know, great he was at one point, and you can tell he does not want to turn the ball over.
Well, there was at one point where it seemed like he had a clear. I don't know if you how deeply you guys were watching the game last night. It was a two possession game, and he had a clear path to the basket, and instead of taking the easy layup, he tried to find someone for three, and it didn't go well, and things started. I don't want to put everything at his feet. Obviously it's a team game, but it's just another disappointing performance in his career, playoff career, Terzo, you know. And
it really is, and that's what's kind of sad about it, you know. And then You're watching this Lakers team. They are just outmanned. I do like the Thunder, but it is a tough watch. I like defensive basketball, but I don't necessarily know the flopping is necessary. And you know, it's kind of tough seeing LeBron kind of go out right now and maybe get swept this year. That's kind of sad to see.
Terzo, I just don't know if it's a choice. Thanks for the call, brother.
Appreciate
enjoy
you
your, enjoy your working
right,
from home today. A telecommuting Terzo in Iowa. Joining us on the program.
I'll eat some ribs.
You know, I again, just revisiting it, I don't think it's a bug and a feature of Oklahoma City. I don't think they're doing it, you know, like, hey, we're going to flop, guys, and let's practice flopping for the first part of our session today while we're practicing. Let's everyone flop.
20 minutes
and then,
flopping.
You know, like, and again, so the right line is the floppers and the left line are the defenders who are flopping, right?
Sure.
So, all right, SGA, you're in line one, and Chet Holmgren, you're in line two, and Chet, you'll act like you're Kramer being hit by Roger McDowell's magic loogie. You know, I just think they all just do it. I don't know. Who would dare to ask the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, do you practice flopping? Do you practice that?
Rich,
you tell them to do it.
Put me on. Well, they're coming here, so I will go.
Okay,
and
very good.
I will be your tribute, if you so.
As for, and again, in the same way that we're, you know, talking about Oklahoma City flopping, and it's also a team chock full of insanely talented young people who play collectively in a championship way, and kill you with defense, transition defense, half court defense, kill you with transition offense, kill you with threes, kill you with everything. In the same way that, you know, we talk more about the flopping, the Harden, you know, statistically flopping again, 46th career playoff game last night. That's 25% of his playoff games in which he has more turnovers than field goals made.
Yeesh.
That happened last night. as Harden went 3 of 13, 10 points. No three-pointers made, 0 for 4 from three-point land. So three field goals made, four turnovers. And you, as a Sixer fan and a Clipper fan, know all too well of moments where you're like, all right, James, take it over in the playoffs, and he just doesn't, can't, I don't know. Rockets fans,
man, I don't know.
Right? It's crazy. But then you're not talking about Cade Cunningham being so incredibly good at the game of basketball. Didn't miss a free throw, 8 of 8 there, 7 of 14 from the floor, 3 of 6 from 3, 10 assists, man. Two blocks.
How many?
How many?
I said two blocks.
I said two, PM.
How good is he? Is he the MVP as well? You could make this case. I know he got hurt, but they made a special dispensation so he can be eligible for it. And the Pistons have come off the mat down 3-1 and haven't lost a game since. Finish off the Magic, up 2-0 on Cleveland now. That's five straight wins for the Pistons. Duncan Robinson, man.
Duncan.
That guy can really give you a jolt of energy. 5 of 9 from three. They have their own Thompson. Okay. So
Pistons Knicks is going to have a 90s kind of throwback basketball feel to it for the East Finals.
I think that's the way it's going to be, huh?
For sure. And I think that's going to be a really, really fun series, and for the right to lose to OKC.
I think, you know, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I don't know. Don't forget the Spurs. The Spurs have the ability to give Oklahoma City a run for its money. They really do. And I understand now that will be the de facto NBA Finals in many people's minds.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, and it just depends on how many people from New York the Pistons will allow in their building. Did you hear the Sixers are giving away 500 tickets?
As they should, for the community, for the kids.
Just to make sure there's fewer New Yorkers in the building tonight.
Yeah, I get it.
That's very community-minded of them.
I love that. Love that.
Very community-minded. Yeah. What's OG status? Do we got anything?
Still on.
Haven't seen anything lately. Got to be the same old day-to-day, which is, of course, we are also all day-to-day.
Okay.
Yeah, no update.
But aren't we all? We'll see that tonight. Sixers have a shot to try and make this a series again.
Got to do it tonight.
Do you play Embiid tonight?
Well, again,
haven't seen an update on him either.
Is he ready? I don't know. I imagine he should be.
Questionable.
Didn't play game two. Got the fourth quarter off in game one.
I mean, these games are back to back to back to back to back.
Which is great. Just like it's like they're playing hockey.
I'd like to.
I like
extra day of rest.
Why?
To make sure these players are healthy.
I would like this.
Isn't that why they sat out most of the games during the year, so they're healthy for right now?
Exactly. And I'd like the season to be over before July 4th.
You just want to put pressure on these guys' bodies.
Actually.
Yeah, I know.
You what?
That's what we got going on here. Knicks up 2-0, can take a 3-0 lead. Big game between the Spurs and Wemby tonight. I mean, the Timberwolves tonight. That'll be an interesting one. The only series that's where a road team has won so far. Hour 2 coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.